Some people call it a squeeze box. Some know it as the instrument played by Popeye the Sailor Man. But its official name is the concertina. It was invented in Germany in 1829, not long after its cousin, the accordion, and it became a staple of European folk music. This is Alastair Anderson, playing the traditional tune Random Notes. Anderson is regarded as one of the finest concertina players in the world. A man of many instruments, Anderson began playing the concertina as a teenager. Today, after years of delighting audiences around the world, Anderson devotes much of his time to teaching the concertina. He heads the folk music program at the University of Newcastle upon Tyne, and we asked him to give us a short lesson about how the concertina works.
It's a little unusual in that the scale is split between the two hands. So it starts on the left, then goes to the right, then back to the left, then back to the right. So it goes from hand to hand all the way up. So that's a little unusual. Very often on instruments, you know, one hand does one thing, either with a pick or a bow or something, and the other hand will do something else. Or even on a piano, you know, one is more at the bass and one is more at the treble. With the concertina, the two have to integrate absolutely in order to play a melody. So that takes a little while, but after that, you know, you just press a button and out comes the music.
Can you give us a little demonstration of what you're talking about? Because I can sort of imagine it, but maybe if I hear it, it'll be clearer.
Yes, so it starts, so there's the left-hand side, and there's the right-hand side, and back to the left, and back to the right, and left, and right, and left, and right, and left, and right, and so on up. So it's a little strange, but it does mean that in about 4 inches you got four octaves.
Do you play overtones too by how hard you squeeze, or is it the same note no matter what?
No, you just get a different volume. Squeeze it very gently, it's very quiet, but if you go, you know, if you really give it a heave, it gets louder, it's simple as that.
Take me back to the time you've mastered this instrument, and did you ever have a notion that you could actually make a career out of it or a life out of it?
When I first started to play, probably not. I was just so inspired by some of the older musicians who lived, especially out in the country areas. I grew up in industrial Tyneside, near Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. But out in the Cheviot Hills, which are just 30 miles or so outside north of Newcastle, there were quite a few of the older musicians, mainly shepherds, who kept up playing the fiddle and the Northumbrian pipes. When I met them when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, I was just tremendously impressed with them as musicians and to be honest, as people as well. I just wanted to be able to be involved in that whole music making and music sharing scene. It's one of the things that always appealed to me about traditional music was the way it was shared so freely amongst everybody, and you know, the aim was to enjoy making music together. And then for people to hear what those old guys had, the only way in those days was to go out and play it for people. Actually, you know, take those tunes and go and see them face to face and play them for them.
Now, have you stuck strictly to traditional music and the music that you heard in the fields, or have you broadened out? Has anybody written music for the concertina?
I started very much being involved with traditional music, especially from this area, and that is still one of my absolute main loves, and I still love playing music like that. But I also have enjoyed playing other things. I mean, I played a concert recently with Bradley Cressick, who is the leader of our orchestra, the Northern Sinfonia, a very, very fine orchestra, and together we played a piece of Bach. And that was, you know, I know that it was not, you know, a proper Baroque interpretation of Bach. It would take me years to do that. But he also knew that I was bringing something from where I come from into the music. And, you know, for those 5 minutes, we would just both enjoy playing it as if it was a tune. And we had great fun. And the Queen was there, and her feet seem to be tapping, so there you go. It was a great concert.
Did Bach actually write music for the concertina?
Oh no, I mean the concertina was invented many years after he died, but it was that piece was written for the violin. But pieces that are written for the violin or the oboe or the flute usually sit quite well on the concertina.
Is there anything classical that's at hand?
Thank you. But on that concertina, I could actually hear it leaking. This is a very old concertina. I kept on running out of air in both directions. The instrument has, it has a lot of dynamic potential. This one hasn't particularly, but you can. It's quite a flexible instrument.
What did we just listen to? What was that?
That was a bit of the Allegro from one of the, I think the Sonata number 3 in C major by J.S. Bach. But I might be wrong. But it's one of the sonatas and partitas.
I'm just trying to think where I first saw a concertina, and it seems to me that it was an instrument that Popeye used to sort of have in his pocket. Are you familiar with Popeye?
Yes, I'm familiar with Popeye.
Did you ever see him play the concertina?
I vaguely recall, there's very vague
because
recollection of that.
He played something called called the Fisherman's Hornpipe, which, is that one that you know? All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Not one of yours, eh?
No, I probably could fake it. But, yeah.
Okay. Alistair Anderson is a concertina virtuoso and director of the Traditional Folk Music Program at the University of Newcastle on Tyne. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'm Joe Palca. Good evening from All Things Considered and NPR News.